We're holding on Samachay Amud Beis by the second Mishnah, bottom of the Amud. We were talking about the fact that the husband has to give instructions for the get to be written in order for it to be written, because when the pasuk says b'chos avlo, it doesn't mean the husband himself has to write the get, but it means it does have to be written at his instructions. We talked about yesterday, is that because without such instructions you don't have shlichus, or is it a specific thing by a get because it has to be written l'shma? Whatever the case, you need those instructions. So we talked about yesterday, for example, the various expressions that the husband might use that do constitute such granting of authorization to them to write the get, and which ones not. So now, this and the next Mishnah are going to talk about, now there's two parts of a get. There's the writing it, and there's the delivering of it. What does the husband have to say in order for it to be, which of those does the husband have to say in order for them to be able to do the whole thing? So the Mishnah says, originally the Chachamim said, if somebody is going out with chains around his neck, koiler is actually like the word collar in English, So they would do that. Rashi explains when the government was going to execute somebody, they would have them go out. They'd take them to the place where they're going to be executed with a chain around their neck. The Yerushalmi brings actually, and Rashi and the Yerushalmi brings, and the Rambam brings it lahalacha actually, that it would apply even if the person is not being taken out to be executed, even if they only arrested him and put chains on him because of something involving dinei mominus. And in fact, the halacha is that even that, because even when once he's got once they're putting a chain on his neck, then it means things are pretty serious. So even with dinei mominus, his life might be in danger. And the Chassam Sofer says Rashi might actually agree to that. He's just talking according to originally in the Mishnah before they added more categories of people who are in danger. Then it would be only somebody who was being judged for dinei nefashos. Anyway, he says to people, write a get for my wife. So he didn't say anything about giving the get, he just said write it. And the following Mishnah we're going to learn on some Chavavim and Aleph, or a couple of Mishnahs further, and one of the Mishnahs on Daf Samachvav, we're going to talk about that if a regular healthy person says just kisvu without saying tenu, they can't yet deliver the get, because he didn't say to deliver it. But here, he who only mentioned writing it, they're still able to write it and give it to her, because we assume that he was afraid of what's going to happen to him, and therefore he left off the word tenu, but he meant to include it as well. So chazru loymar, later on the chachamim changed their mind and said not only that case, afam farish, also a person who's getting ready to go on a voyage in the sea, the same thing, so he's not in imminent danger right now, like the person who's yotze b'koiler, but nevertheless, the fact is, there is potential danger over there of what might happen on the trip. You see, after all, a person has to bench goymol when he comes back from such a voyage. And similarly, when a person is going with a caravan, he's going to go travel across the desert, same kind of thing. So all of those, then also if he says kiss will get leishti, then they can also deliver the get, even though he didn't say tenu, because we assume that he's in a hurry, he wants to go on his trip, and therefore he forgot to say the word tenu, but he meant to say it. Reb Shimon Shazuri says also another one in this category is also somebody who's dangerously ill. Now Rashi just says Mesukan means choila. The Rambam defines it more as the person became suddenly ill. So then also Reb Shimon Shazuri says, and the halacha is like him, that he also, if he says kisvu without tenu, you can still write and give the get on his behalf. So now the Gemara is going to go into a case involving dinei mominus, which is going to relate back to what we said in our Mishnah. The story involves gneva. Now, we've had Gniva several times in the Masechta already. Back on Daf Zayin, we first were introduced to him. He was a Talmud Chacham, but we said he didn't have good midas. In particular, he was starting up with and harassing Ma'ukva to the point where we said Ma'ukva couldn't take it anymore, and he's asking Rabbi Lazar in Eretz Yisrael whether he's allowed a Pialacha to master Gniva to the government so that to get him to leave him alone. And Rabbi Lazar told him, no, you stay calm, you daven and you learn, and Hashem will take care of the situation. And sure enough, the Gemara said over there that not long after he received that reply from Rabbi Lazar, then sure enough, Gniva was put in chains and taken out to be executed. So here we have the end of the story. In between, we had on Daf Lamed Aleph and Daf Samach Beis. In between, we had where Rav Huna and Rav Chista met up with him, and they said he is a Talmud Chacham, but he's a Palga, he's a Baal Machloikas. So here we have the end of the story. So Gniva Yotzi B'Kol Hava, he was being taken out in chains to be executed. He have a Kanafik, as he was on the way, Omar, he says, Hovu arba mea zuzi l'rabavina mechpamra de Nahar Panya. Give Rabavina from the wine of Nahar Panya, is the name of a place, give him 400 zuz. So we're going to see further on in the Gemara, what does he mean? Does he mean 400 zuz worth of wine? Does he mean to sell the wine and give him 400 zuz from the proceeds? But anyway, that's what he had said. Tovas Tanoim Vamiroyim, which is a sefer written about 100 years ago that goes through in detail all the information we have about all the Tanoim and Amiroyim mentioned anywhere in Shas. He mentions an interesting point. This Rav Avina we find in Brachas is a Talmud of Gniva who said a teaching in Halacha over in his name. Maybe, and he seems to be the only one that mentions elsewhere a Chaver of Gniva's who said, but as far as Talmudim, only Rav Avina, he says maybe that's why Gniva wanted Davka to give this big bequest to Rav Avina, because he appreciated the fact that Rav Avina had remained his Talmud and quoted Halacha in his name. Anyway, the question basically is besides the question what it means, whether he means to give him the actual wine or the proceeds from the wine, you also have the question, there's no kinyan, there's no shtar, there's no nothing over here, does this work? So Amar Rav Zeira, says, Dora Rav Avina l'silte, Rav Avina ought to pick up his basket, meaning pack himself food for a trip, and go, but also legabe de Rav Huna rabbe, and he should go to his Rebbe Rav Huna, and based on what Rav Huna says, he'll be able to collect on this bequest of Gnivas. The Amar Rav Huna gita kimat nasai, because we find that Rav Huna says that the get of a shchivmera is similar to the matona of a shchivmera, which means ma matnasai im omad choser. Now, when it comes to a matnas shchivmera, the din is that so he gives away everything that he has. But he doesn't mean, obviously, he has in mind that if he recovers, he wants all of that back. He doesn't want it to be given away permanently. He just wants these matonas to take effect if he passes away. So if he recovers from his illness, then choizer, then he's able to retract and get back whatever it was that he gave away. Af gito yim omar choizer, the same way with the get. If he recovers, then he's able to change his mind. Because again, obviously, he only meant to divorce her only if he actually dies. And he means that the divorce should take effect right before he dies, as I was going to point out in a minute, and get la hamisa. And therefore, we can also make the comparison the other way around, which Rashi explains. This next piece is not part of Rav Huna's statement. It's actually we ourselves are deducing it from what Rav Huna is saying. And the Marshal and Marshal talk about why we should assume that. In particular, because the Marshal says that because if it was all part of Rav Huna's statement, then instead of saying umagitoi, then the expression would something like be like the expression to begin with would have been gitoi kmatnosei umatnosei kgitoi. And Marashal gives another reason. The point is, in other words, so Rav Huna only made the equation that just like a matonim omad choser, so a getim omad choser. And we'll see, we'll talk about how that fits with our Mishnah. But the second part, which is what which is what's relevant to our sugya over here, where we want to show that Abavina is going to be able to actually get this matana. For that, we ourselves need to deduce the second half from what Rav Huna had said in the first half. That. So therefore, we would say, now when it comes to a get, even though the Shivana did not specify, given the Omakisu, we're saying in our Mishnah that even though he says Kisvu and he didn't say Tnu, and normally a person has to say Tnu in order for the get to be able to be given, and yet in our Mishnah we're saying that a Shivmarah doesn't, because we're saying that Rav Shimon Chazuri says Afa Masukan, and the Halacha is like that, and anyway, even without Rav Shimon Chazuri, we said Ayotzi Makolo, which was the case with Geneva. So Kivin de Oma Kisvu Afrika Bla Oma Tnu, once he says Kisvu, even without Tnu, it's good enough, and we can write and give the get. Then it would work, even if he said just give it, even without making kinyan. So even though there's no kinyan over here, then Rav Zeira is saying, based on what Rav Huna is saying, Rav Avina should be able to collect this bequest that Geneva left him. However, the Gemara maskif for Rav Abba, but Rav Abba says, why is it a valid comparison? Well then, in that case, if you're going to say the matona takes place only after he dies, because it is possible, so you can have a shchivra, I can say, after I die, I want you to give such and such to somebody, and that takes effect when he dies. Are you going to say, if you're going to equate a get to, if you're going to equate, if you're going to make an equation in both directions between a get and a matana, are you going to say af get yeshna la'achamisa? You're going to say the same thing, the get can take place after he dies? Can't. Ein gerushin la'achamisa. We already learned this earlier in the Masechta. We're going to learn it more extensively in the next parak, that the get can't take effect after the person has died. By definition, the get has to take effect while the husband is alive. So obviously they're not the same. So once you're seeing that they're not comparable as far as that, why should you assume they're comparable as far as when they take effect in terms of whether he made a kinyan or not? So the Gemara answers back, Chochi Hashta, how are you thinking to make a comparison? What kind of a question is that, Rav Abba? Vishrema Matona Isa La'achamisa, a present, sure, it's possible for it to be given after the person dies, El Get La'achamisa Mi'ika, but there's no such thing as a Get La'achamisa, so obviously they're not really the same thing. Now, the question, of course, is, I mean, the Machshon of Abba and the Gemara that's giving the Taritzin that's giving the answer seem to be both saying exactly the same thing. So what exactly is the Teretz adding? Rav Abba knows that there's a difference between them. That's the whole thrust of his argument. So what are you answering? Yeah, there's a difference. Well, then if yeah, there's a difference, then how are you learning one from the other? So the Marshal says that, what it means is like this. We're saying a get is completely not shayach la'achamisa, because as soon as he dies, the fact that she needs yibum right away kicks in. That's the reason why he would be giving a get in this case, rather than just still die, is because he doesn't want that she should have to do chalitza or yibum. But the moment he dies, that zika kicks in, and now she's chayiv and chalitza or yibum. So there's no room. So even if we were to say, conceivably, there could be a get la'achamisa, it's already overridden by the zika that takes effect at that point. So where's a matana? You don't have that. As soon as he dies, then there's room for it to be chal, and there's nothing preventing it from being chal. So therefore, there's no problem. So Rav Abba was arguing, in other words, that since we see that ain get la'achamisa, therefore a matana is not completely comparable, because a matana could be la'achamisa. So what the Gemara is answering is, yes, that's true. But the reason for that is not because the get in principle couldn't take effect la'achamisa, but because by the time it takes effect, it's too late already. The zika has already taken effect. That's how Marshal says. Marshal says it somewhat differently. He says that the fact that Rav Abba's question again was that they're not the same. So even with the Shrivna, if he says Kisvu Tnu, then they can give it even Lachamissa. But the fact is, even if the Shrivna said by a get Kisvu Tnu, you still wouldn't be able to give it Lachamissa. So the answer is that it's true that by a get it's true. If he says Tnu Lachamissa, then of course they can't. Because the fact is they are different in that regard because en get Lachamissa. So the question, so according to the Marshal, the question would be that Rav Abba is saying that, that as much as possible you should try to compare them, and here obviously you can't compare them, and the Gemara is answering that, yeah, the fact is, you want to compare to where he explicitly says Tnu, fine, by a Matana that would work, by a Get it would not work. So we see that even when you're explicit, there's still a difference, so fine, here we can talk about when there's not explicit though, you can still draw a comparison between them being not completely explicit, and say though that in terms of that, they're the same. So that deflects Rav Abba's question, and so on the face of it, Rav Avinah is still entitled to the request. But the Gemara says, Elo Rav Abba hofi kokashale. Okay, that's true. So we can't say that Rav Abba's question was that because a get can't be la'achamissa, therefore the matnas shivana also can't be la'achamissa, and therefore we should say that there's no comparison between them at all. Fine, there is an obvious difference between them. But Rav Abba's question is something else. Matnas shivana b'miktasi. This isn't Gniva giving away all of his property to Rav Avinah. He's only mentioning a specific thing of his property. 400 zuz from the wine of Maharpani. And umatnas shchivra b'miktas boyakinyan. So that and umatnas shchivra that applies to only part of his property does require a kinyan. The whole concept that we talk about matnas shchivra that it's effective right away. That's when he's giving away everything because then we assume in omad choizer if he recovers from it, then he's able to change his mind because obviously he wouldn't have wanted to leave himself without anything. But if he's giving away only some of his property. Obviously, he expects to recover. Otherwise, we can't take the rest of it with him either. So then in that case, it's like a regular matana, and it requires a kinyan. So what are you telling me here that Rav Avinah is going to get it without a kinyan? So the Gemara asks, well, the fact that Rav Abba is bringing up that point, Miklal de Rav Huna Savalei Bar Kinyan. Well, would that imply that Rav Huna would disagree and say kinyan is not needed even in that case? We know for a fact that it requires a kinyan when it's only a partial matan. So it's true then. How would Rav Huna's din help us in our case? The answer is shiny hochdem et sava machmas misahu. The difference is over here that Gniva is giving the instructions because he's about to die. He knows that he's not going to come back. So therefore, even a matana b'miktas, normally by a shtiv merah, there's always the chance that he may recover. But here, yotze v'kolo, realistically, he's not going to come back from it. So therefore, when he's giving the instructions, it's the equivalent of a regular matna shtiv merah, the whole thing. So fine, he's not giving away the rest, because the rest he wants is yoshin to get. But nevertheless, we still can say that it's valid without a kidney. So that's not a good question against what Gniva said and against what Rav Zeira is saying. But the Gemara says, Elo Rav Abba Hofi Kokashale. Fine, but Rav Abba has another question on this story. Chamro Loi Ka'amar, what is Rav Avinah supposed to collect from? Gniva did not say that he should get 400 zuz of the chamra, of the wine, which in that case, then that would be that we measure out 400 zuz worth of wine and give it to him. And he also doesn't say the value of the wine, which would mean that the Yoshim of Gniva should take the wine, sell it, and give Rav Avinah 400 zuz from it. He didn't say either one. All he said was Mei Chamra Kamar. He said give him 400 zuz from the wine. So what does that mean? It sounds like a meaningless statement. It sounds like we're saying, take the wine and make it into 400 zuz. Well, you can't. You can't make money. You can't make wine into money. So in that case, then leaving everything aside that we said about mitzvah machmas misa and all that, don't you have the issue that what Gniva said seems to not have any meaning? So can't the Yoshim say that it doesn't mean anything and we're not obligated? Tosfos, by the way, points out that if he had meant Dmei Chamra, then shouldn't it be a Dabar Shaloi Bala Olam? Because after all, it hasn't been sold yet. And the answer is, Tosfos gives two answers. Number one, It means that Gneva would be saying that Rabbi Avinah owns the wine, not insofar as he can drink the wine or whatever, but only insofar as he can sell it and use the money. Or the difference is we're talking about wine was already sold. That Gneva means there's money that I have from wine from Nahar Panya that I already previously sold and from which I earned 400 zuz. And now that 400 zuz, particularly that I earned from that, then I'm earmarking for Rabbi Avinah. Either way, then it's not a davar shelo balayim. Anyway, the point is that Rav Abba is saying, though, that the fact is he didn't say Dmei Chamra, he didn't say Chamra either, he said Mei Chamra, which seems to be a meaningless statement. So what does Rav Zera answer to that? He says, on the contrary, Mei Chamra Kedele Yakvus as Kofi. On the contrary, you can say that Gneva used the word Mei Chamra in order to improve Rav Avinah's claim to the bequest. Meaning, because if he had said one or the other, if he said give him wine, then what would happen if some of the wine afterwards goes sour? The Yoshim could say, well, that wine was what Rav Avinah was meant to get, so tough luck, we're going to give him that. And if he only said Dmei Chamra, the value of the money, so then if they sold the wine and raised the 400 zuz, and then that 400 zuz got stolen, then also they could tell him that they're lost or whatever, then they could say, it's your money that got lost, and it's your problem, and we don't have to give it to you. By saying Dmei Chamra, specifically Gniva is meaning, on the contrary, that neither of those excuses will work, and they have to give him that 400 zuz no matter what. So Rav Zera is saying, on the contrary, you're saying, Rav Abba, that Mei Chamra makes things worse. In fact, it makes things better for Rav Avinah. And in fact, Shocho Mitam, in fact, they sent a message from Meir, meaning from Eretz Yisrael, precisely that, Mei Chamra Kedil Yatmos Es Kochai, that the word Mei Chamra, the expression Mei Chamra is chosen very deliberately because it means that he wants to improve Rav Avinah's claim to the wine. So they can't just give him wine that's spoiled and tell him that's the wine that you were supposed to get. They can't tell him your wine got lost. They have to give him the actual wine. They have to give him the 400 zuz regardless, and they can't get away with it. So that's the answer. Therefore, so Gneva, being a Talmid Chacham, deliberately chose that wording in order to improve that this way Rabbi Avinah will be entitled to the money no matter what. Mishnah says, here's another case where a person doesn't have to say tnu and they're still able to write the get and give it. Mishahaya mushlach labur, somebody was thrown into a pit, he's at the bottom of a pit and he can't get out. But Omar, and he calls out, Kolashim, and he calls out his name and all his identifying details and his wife's name and all the identifying details. So for Omar, and he says, Kola Shemeyas Kola Yichtav Get L'Ishtay, anybody who hears my voice should write a get for my wife. So now, again, he didn't say the word Tnu, but the same thing, Harele Yichtav will be Yitnu, they're able to write the get and to deliver it based on what he's saying, because again, even though he didn't say the word Tnu, we assume that in his panic he forgot to mention that point. But nevertheless, it's still valid, and he's able to, and they're able to give it on the basis of that. Tosfos explains over here that the vort is that here basically what he's doing is he's making whoever hears his voice, he's saying, whoever hears my voice, I'm making you a shliach to write this get. So therefore that works, and they can write the get and they can give it to him. So the Gemara asks, "V'leichol shema shedhu? Why aren't we concerned? Why are we saying that they can just based on this voice? They didn't even see the person. How can they write the get on that behalf? What about it might be a shed who's impersonating him?" The answer is, Amar Rabbi Yehuda Shiroloi Dmus Adam. We're talking about they actually saw from a distance, they saw the appearance of a person. So they didn't see, they couldn't see specifically, they couldn't identify him by face, but they could see that it looks like a person. The question is, Inunami Idmu Ye Idmu. So what? Shadim sometimes look like people as well. So how is that a proof? The answer is the Chozulei Bavua. The case is that they saw they saw that he has a shadow. So the Gemara asks, so what? But Inunami Israel Bavoya, Shadim also casts a shadow. And the answer is the Chozulei Bavua de Bavua. They saw a shadow of the shadow, meaning that you have when a person casts a shadow, and then the shadow has kind of a weaker part. You have a stronger and a weaker part. So that kind is called bavur de bavur. So the question is, the duma inunami islahu. So what? Maybe Shadim have that as well. And the answer is Amar Rav Chanina limdani Yonasan bni. My son Yonasan taught me. Or in Yevamos, actually, it says differently that he's saying that Yonasan shida, that there was a shed by the name of Yonasan that taught me. Bavur islahu, bavur de bavur leslahu. Shadim have a shadow, just like regular people, but they don't have a shadow of a shadow. So therefore, if you see that, then you know that it's a person. You know it's not a shed. Apichasidus, it talks about the idea that shadim, after all, represent koches atuma. So we're saying koches atuma have a certain reality in our world, but they don't have bavur de bavur. They don't have a true reality like the way that the things of kedusha and things that can be used for kedusha have bavur de bavur. They're able to cast a shadow and a shadow of a shadow, meaning that they have an actual metzius in the world and in the way Hashem created the world. Whereas koches atuma, such as shadim, do not, because they're really just a negative. They're something that doesn't truly exist after all, because they're only there in order to be overcome. Anyway, so therefore, so if you see bavur de bavur, then you're fine, and then you know it's not a shed, and therefore you're able to rightly get based on this disembodied voice that you heard. The interesting thing is actually the Rambam regularly, the Rambam always leaves out Shadim in connection with Halachas. He always assumes that Shadim don't really exist. They're kind of a figment of the imagination. So he would have to understand our Gemara over here as meaning that, as meaning, in other words, that there's no chance whatsoever that we're very clear that this is a person and not, for example, just that they're hearing voices or something like that. There's an interesting word from the Kotzker that says the Ramban, by saying that there's no shadim, in effect what he did is he denied them from now on. Therefore, from now on, shadim in effect don't exist anymore, because the reality of the world follows the Torah. And if the Ramban is saying that, and if the Ramban is saying there's no shadim, then in a certain sense, then that causes it that indeed there are no more shadim. And therefore they cease to exist. So we talk about different early Israel in different periods. We talk about that they remove the shadim from the world. So here there's the support that the Rambam did part of that by denying the existence of shadim. But the fact is, so either way, the point is we have to recognize it's him. Okay, the question is Viduma Tsarahi. Okay, still with all of that, so fine, you're sure it's not a shed, but how do we know it's not a tsara of this wife? Where we learned before that, for example, the man has two wives, so one of them might want to mess up the other. So imagine, for example, so she goes and impersonates the husband and says, Kis uget l'ishli, and then she means that the get should be written for the first wife, Rachel, and then Rachel will get remarried with it, and then Leah will come out and say, ha, I played a trick on you. It wasn't our husband, Reuven, who said that, it was me, and therefore, Rachel, you haven't actually gotten validly divorced, and there'll be all the consequences for it. So how do we know that not? The answer is Tonad Veda Bishmal, the Shasa Sakana, at a time of danger like this, when the person is in the pit, then yes, you can write a get and you can deliver it, even if we don't fully recognize that it's a person. Because the fact is, you got to do it on the spot now because otherwise you may not have a chance to. So therefore, we'll have to take our chances that it might be a tzara. We're going to assume it's not very likely that a tzara is going to go to all that trouble to mess up this woman. We can assume that it really was, as long as we're not concerned that it's a shed, as we said before, then we can assume that it really was him, and therefore we can write the get on that behalf. The Me'iri does point out you would have to make sure that you heard an actual voice and not just that you're imagining things or something like that. Okay, so now that we've talked about in the last couple of Mishnayos where the husband can say only Kisvu and it's enough without saying Tnu, let's talk about the flip side where he has to say both. The Mishnah says, Habori Sha'ama Kisvu Getlishti, if a healthy person, so he's not a Shivra, he's not going out to be executed, he's not going on a sea voyage or whatever, or all these other cases, and he says, write a get for my wife, but he didn't say Tnu, Rotsa Lasachitba, then we assume that he's just wanting to play around with her, because he didn't say Tnu, so therefore they can't actually give the get because he didn't give them instructions to. So if they give the get under that conditions, then it would be possible. The Mishnah continues, Maisa b'bori echad sh'ama kisvu get l'ishti. It happened once with a healthy person who said, write a get to my wife, but olo l'roish ha'gag v'nafol l'mes. Then he went up onto the roof, and he fell off and died. And Omer of Shimon Gamliel, im me'atzmei nafol harez get, if he fell down on his own, meaning that he actually wanted to jump off, then it's a valid get, as the Gemara is going to explain. This is an example of a chiyach sofer al tchilasai, that the fact that he actually threw himself off the roof shows that he was planning to do it, so therefore it shows that he was distracted by that, and therefore it's similar to the case of the person going on the voyage or whatever. Therefore, it would be a valid get. Imaruach dachatu ain't a get. But if the wind pushed him off the roof, it wouldn't be a get, because he wasn't expecting to fall and die, and therefore that would be the case of the body in the first half of the mission. Which the Gemara asks, Maisa Lister, usually a story in a Mishnah is coming to back up and to strengthen what we just said, to buttress what we just said. Here it's the other way around. The Maisa seems to contradict. First, the Mishnah had said as a blanket statement that if a body says Kisvu without Tnu, then it doesn't work. And now we're saying that there's a distinction whether he jumped off the roof or whether he fell off. So the Gemara says, Chasuri Mechsura. The Mishnah is missing a phrase, V'hochi Katani. It means to say like this. If the end of the story demonstrates about the beginning of it, then it is a valid get, meaning if we see at the end that he was planning to do this all along. And sure enough, you had the case where a person said, write a get to my wife, but all of the Rosh Hagag, the Nafla mess, and he went to the roof and fell off. The Omer of Shimon Gamliel and Reb Shimon Gamliel pointed out because that we have the distinction over here. Im me'atzmei Nafla, it is a get. Im maruach tochata in a get. That it would be a difference of whether he jumped off or whether he fell off. So in other words, when the Mishnah is saying Bori Sha'omar Kisvu get l'ishti, we're not saying that as a blanket statement. Sometimes we say you can have a siyach sofa al tchilasai, where what happens after that demonstrates that in fact he must have meant tnu, even though he didn't say it, as in this example where he jumped off the roof deliberately. Okay. So the Gemara tells another case, once we're talking about shluchim for a get, hahu gavra the ol lebeik mishta. There was a man who one time went into shul. Ashkach Matri Yenuka Bredi Yasvi. He found over there was a Malamed sitting there together with his son. The Yosef Inish Achuna Gabayu, and then there was another person sitting with them. So there's three people sitting there in shul. Two of them are related, the Malamed and his son, and then there's a third unrelated man sitting there. Omalahu, he said to them, Beit Shemi Naichu Nichtavu Gita Ludvesu. Two of you should write a get for my wife. So evidently, I guess he must have also meant Tnu, because in Pashtus here we're talking about that he was a Bori, and therefore he does need to say Tnu. The twist is, L'soif shochid makri yinuka, in the end, the Malamed passed away. So out of the three people who were sitting there in shul, when he told them, kiss will get, only two of them are left. The question is, normally that wouldn't be a problem. Fine, any two of them can write the get, as we'll learn in the next mission. The question is, did he even have the son in mind? When you have the father, do people have in mind that the son can be a shliach? In other words, should we assume that he was speaking when he said any two of you, that he could have meant the son as well as this other guy? So therefore, then that would be valid. Would we say that he must have meant the father and this other guy? Well, in that case, then he never appointed the son as a shliach, and therefore, when the father passed away, then you only have one of the two people that he said, and that's no good. So what is it? So Rav Nachman Amar Loi Meshavu Inshi Bro Shlicha B'Makom Abba. Rav Abba says, in fact, the second possibility is correct. We don't say if he saw father and son there, we don't assume he meant to appoint the son as a shliach. We assume he meant to appoint the father. And therefore, once the father has passed away, then that's it. The whole thing falls apart. But Rav Papi Amar Meshavu Inshi Bro Shlicha B'Makom Abba. But Rav Papi says people can do that. So therefore, we can assume that he meant the son can be a shliach just as well. And Omar Rava, Rava says, the Rif brings it without a name, b'chlal, but anyway, the Hilchsa, Meshavu, Inshi, Brosh, Shlich, B'mokam Abba, yes, people will make the son a shliach, even when the father is present. So therefore, he meant that any of the three of them can be the shluchim for it, and therefore, if the father, the melamed, passes away, then yes, the other two, the son and this other guy, can write again. As far as the matter of the guy who was in the pit and the shed, by the way, I forgot to mention, Tosfos points out, if it's in the city or something, then you don't have this whole thing where you have to see a shadow and all that. Because Shadim tend to hang out in uninhabited places. So when you have, for example, the person is at a pit out in the middle of nowhere, then you have to be concerned that it was a shed, and then you have to see Bavoya de Bavoya and all of that. But if it was in the city, you wouldn't need that, because then Shadim are less likely to hang around in those places as well. Continues the Mishnah, the bottom of the Amud. Amar l'shnayim tnu get l'ishli. Now, what if the husband says, give a get to my wife? Now here it's the other way around. Before we said where he said only write it, and he said if he's a bori and it's not hashkiach sofa tchilasei, then that doesn't work. Here we're talking about the other way around. He says give the get, but he didn't say write it, and the get hasn't been written yet. So what does that mean? So if he says to two people give a get to my wife, and he hasn't yet told them to write the get, or he says to three people kisvu geto tnu l'ishti, write and give the get to my wife. Then they can write the get and give it. The point is, when he sent it to two people, they themselves have to be the ones to actually write the get and to sign it. Because two people don't constitute a beis din, so therefore it means that he appointed them only a din. So therefore they themselves have to be, so we'll see actually in the Gemara whether they themselves have to write the get. Maybe they can tell the sofer to write the get, but definitely the signing they were going to have to do themselves, because that's why he told them tnu, meaning that you yourself have to do it. You can't delegate it to somebody else. If he tells it to three people, even though that three are capable of being a beis din, but he said the word kisvu, so therefore he meant to make them only edim. Otherwise, if he had just said to them tnu, then it would mean I'm making you a beis din to see to it that my wife receives a get, and then they would be able to delegate it to other people. So therefore, sarei ala yichtu will be itnu. So in both those cases, they have to write it and they have to give it. Again, maybe we'll see in the Gemara, maybe they can delegate to others the writing of the get, but definitely they themselves have to sign it. We're going to talk about in the Gemara the concept called Mili Loi Mimsiran L'Shliach. We're going to say words cannot be given over to a Shliach. Meaning, in other words, that here he's giving them verbal instructions. He's not giving them an actual get. Then therefore, you can't delegate that to somebody else. We're going to discuss that point in the Gemara, and we'll get to there, Be'ez Hashem, that there's a few different other explanations of what mili la mimsa mashliach means, what exactly is considered mili in this connection. So we'll talk about that more in the Gemara. But anyway, that's the point is, because he only told them, so in the case of two, where there can't be a basin, it doesn't matter whether he told them kisru or tnu, or just tnu. In the case of three, if he had told them tnu, then that would be, I'm appointing you a basin to see to it that the get is delivered. But once he says kisru or tnu, means he wants them to write, or at least to sign the get themselves. So, Omar the Shloisha, Tnu get the issue. If he says to three people, give a get to my wife, and again, no get has been written yet, then they could tell other people to write that get and to sign it, because three people constitute a beis din, and therefore that means that the beis din's job is not really to write the get themselves. The beis din's job is really to tell the edim what to do. The Gemara is going to call this soon Oimer Im, that he says to them, tell other people to do such and such. So Divrei Rameir holds that Oimer Imru is fine, and therefore when he's telling the beis din, you don't write the get yourselves. Instead, you delegate it to other people to do. Then that's fine, and it's considered a valid get, according to Rameir. And the Mishnah continues, Rezu halacha hela Rav Chanina ish oine mebeis ha'asurin. Rav Chanina ish oine brought this halacha from jail. In the name of Rav Akiva, it actually says. So we know Rav Akiva was in jail, a famous story. So while he was in jail, Rav Chanina ish oinoi learned the following din from him. The same thing, the kubal ani, that I have the kabbalah from my rabbeim, says Rav Akiva, but oimel the shloisha tnu get leishti, where a person says to three people, give a get to my wife, sheyom rilachem v'yichtavu, they're able to tell others that they, and they'll write the get, and they shasan beistin, because by saying tnu, without kisvu, he's making them a beistin, and therefore he's empowering them to oimel imru, he's telling them, you tell others to write the get. So Rav Chanina ish oino is saying, not only Rav Meir holds this, but you should know Rav Akiva holds this way also. However, Omer Rav Yossi, but Rav Yossi says, numinu the shliach. We, the other Chachamim, said to the shliach, meaning Rav Chanina ish oino, who told us what Rav Akiva had said, we told him, we don't exactly agree with your version of what you said of what you said in the name of Rav Akiva. No, what we learned, af onim kubalim, in fact, we learned from Rabbi Akiva, not like what you're saying. The shafilu omel based in agoro shebeishalayim tnu get leishti. Even if he says the based in agoro in Yerushalayim, and you would think that them, for sure he means that they should delegate it to others, because they have more important things on their agenda. Nevertheless, if he tells them tnu get leishti, he says, give a get to my wife, there's no oimer imru, so therefore they can't delegate it to somebody else. They're going to have to learn how to write a get if they don't yet know how to write one. They're going to have to write it themselves and write it and give it. So in other words, Rav Yossi is saying, no, you're telling us, Rav Chanina ish oinoi, that Rav Akiva said that it's good that Oimer Imru works, that he can tell the beis din to have other people write the get. No, we learned from Rav Akiva that regardless, always, even if he says it to a beis din, they themselves have to write the get. So we'll see in the Gemara. We'll see in the Gemara more about their machlokes. So the Mishnah continues. Omer la'asara. We learned this part earlier in the Masechta. Omer la'asara kisvu tnu get leishti. If a person says to a group of 10 people, write a get and give it to my wife, then echad kosev v'shnayim kosmen. He doesn't mean that all 10 of them have to be involved. One of the 10 can write it. Any one of the 10, and two of them have to sign. You don't need all of them. But if he says kulchem psoivu, if he says all of you write the get, then echad kosev v'kulon kosmen. Then one of them has to write, but all of them, including the one who wrote, have to sign. Because that's why he said kolchem, meaning that he's machbir, and that all of them should be signing it. Lefichach in mes echaben, that is a get bottle. So therefore, if one of them dies before he signs the get, then the get will be bottle, because not everybody signed in it. In effect, what it means is, we've learned earlier in the Masechta, it's not really so much that you need, obviously a get doesn't need 10 edim, it only needs 2, but what we're saying is basically, he made a tnai over here, that the get is going to be valid only with the signatures of all 10 of them. So we learned earlier, actually, that two of them are Edim, the other 8 are not really Edim, they're only there because of the Tznai. So we talked about, for example, that they sign further down, so that the first two Edim, the first two of them have to be kosher Edim. So for example, if there's relatives or psula Edris among them, then they have to sign further down and so forth, because we don't want people to think that psula Edris can sign again. Okay. So let's focus on the first part of the Mishnah. Where we said again that if the husband says to two people, give the get, he says to three people, write it and give it, then even Rav Meir is going to agree he hasn't made him a beis din, and therefore they themselves have to write it. But what so first of all, the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yirmiyahu bar Abba, Shochem Levi Bei Rav Lishmuel. They sent a message from the yeshiva of Rav to Shmuel. Rav passed away, Rav Shmuel Gaon tells us in his Igeres, 7 years before Shmuel. So even though Rav had a Talmud, Rav Huna, who took over as the Rosh Hashiva, nevertheless, still they would send questions from there to Shmuel because he was from the previous generation. So they wrote, Yilamdenu Rabbeinu, Rebbe teach us, in a case, Omer Shnayim Kisvu Utnu Get Leishti, what if he tells two people, write and deliver the get to my wife? But Omru L'Sofer V'Kosav, what if they tell the Sofer to write, and V'Kos Muhein, so they signed it. Mahu, what would be the din? Is that good, or does it mean that they themselves have to actually write the get? In other words, the question basically boils down to, when the Mishnah said, does it mean they have to write the actual text of the get themselves, or is it enough that they sign the get? Shalachlu, so Shmuel sent him back a message, that the get, it's a suffix. Therefore, Tetze, if she ended up remarrying after receiving such a get, then she and her new husband have to divorce. V'adavet sorech Talmud, but we need to learn it further. It's not completely clear to us. We need to learn from people who are greater than us whether maybe such a get is kosher. So the Gemara says, Maya davet sorech Talmud, what exactly is Shmuel's suffix in it? Ilema mashum dehavelahu mili. Is it because the shlichus amounts to a shlichus of mili? Is it because we're talking only mili, it's only words, because there's no physical get that the husband gave to the shliach? And the question is, can you delegate a shlichus of words to somebody else? So maybe that's what Shmuel's suffix is. So now the question is, in other words, he told them kisku. That's mili, because he didn't give them a physical get. So now, are they able to delegate and tell the sofer, you write the get, l'shmoy or l'shmah, or not? Would that be Shmuel's suffix? What can't be? I'm a Shmuel, I'm a Rabbi, halacha k'rab Yosi, that I'm a mili le'mimser and l'shliach. No, because Shmuel clearly says, in the name of Rabbi, halacha k'rab Yosi, that I'm a mili le'mimser and l'shliach. That the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi in our Mishnah, who says that you can never give over mili to a shliach. Again, we had in the Mishnah, Rabbi Meir had said there are cases where you could. Now, we have like this, actually. Earlier in the Masechta, we had, on Daf Chof Tes, we had a discussion, taka, why not? Why? What would be the reason why, if the husband says to the agent, write to get, why would we say that they have to write it themselves rather than delegating it to somebody else? So we brought two reasons in the Gemara. Abaya had given a reason because of the bizoyan of the husband, meaning the husband may not want it to be so publicly known that he doesn't know how to write a get. After all, the pasuk does say v'chos avla, and usually the expectation would be that the husband himself writes it. In practice, he usually doesn't. He delegates it to a sofer to do. But nevertheless, he may not want it to be known publicly that he's incapable of writing it. So therefore, they have to write it themselves, because otherwise the husband would be makdir that other people know that he can't write it. That was Abaya's reason over there. Rava's reason over there was because mili le'mimser on l'shliach. So now, in our Gemara over here, we're saying that the Tosfos explains like this. If we said like a buyer's reason, then that would work even according to Rav Meir in the Mishnah. Even Rav Meir was saying that in the case of a beis din of three, when he said tnu, then you can write it. He would say because there's no bazillion, because he only said tnu, so obviously he doesn't mind them doing it. But in the case where he says to two, when he says to two people, write the get, or just says give the get, or whatever, then you would have this issue of bizoyan. But here, if we're talking about according to mili le'mimser on l'shliach, then that would be only according to Rabbi Yosi, because according to the mayor, we're saying sometimes they can be given over. So, but Shmuel clearly says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi, milu leminser on the shliach. So what's the suffix then in that case? If the Edom in this case did not write the get, they only signed it, then they had no, based on what Rabbi Yosi is saying and what Shmuel is saying, the halacha is like him, then they have no ability to tell the sofer to write the get. So what's the question? So that he says, Tate, we understand, but why does he say that Dover Tzarech Talmud, we still need to look into this further, according to what we're saying? There should be no suffix at all. It's no good. El the Shmuel Hakam Bailey. Rather, we have to say that Shmuel is having the following suffix. Haik Sovu, the very word that he says to them, write the get. Does that mean Ik Sav Yodam, Ik Sav Get? Does it mean that he wants them to write the entire, does it mean ksav yadon? Does it mean that just there needs to be their handwriting on the get, which would mean their signatures, ksav get? Or did he mean that they actually have to write the get itself out? So here, they didn't write the get, so therefore then it would be possible. So you can learn, Rashi says basically it comes down to what does the husband mean when he says ksoivu, was he referring just to the signatures or is he referring to the actual get itself? And then Tosfos learns a little differently that he's saying, in other words, does he mean that they should do it all by themselves or does he mean that they should have other people involved as well? So that would be the question, therefore. So therefore, that's why he's saying about Dovret Sarek Talmud. Well, the Gemara asks, why does he have the suffix? The Tifshit Lei, Mimas Nisin. Why can't he answer based on our Mishnah? Omer L'Shnayim Tnu Get the Ishti, where he says two people write the get for my wife. Or the Shloisha Kis will get the Tnu L'Ishti. Where he says the three people write the get and give it to my wife. Harei the Yichtu will be Yitnu. Then they have to write the get. And they have to sign it. So clearly it means that yichtavu v'yachtamu, yichtavu means b'pashkus, they have to write the whole get. So obviously they have to write it. What's the question? So the answer is, he gufach kabibarele. Well, that itself is what Shmuel is not sure about. When he says, when it says in the Mishnah, ksoivu, when he says to them, write, that's what it means. Ksav yodanhu or ksav agetu. Does it mean there has to be their handwriting somewhere on the get, meaning their signatures, or does it mean that he wants them to write the entire get? So therefore, you can't prove one way or the other from the Mishnah, because when the Mishnah says that he tells them write, and when it says yichtavu, we don't know whether it means writing the whole get or whether it means only signing it. So the Gemara says, So the Gemara says, Pshita de Ksava Getu. Shouldn't it be obvious that it means the actual writing of the get itself to Katani Sefer? Because what do we have in the continuation of the Mishnah? So Omer Rav Yosi, Numinu L'Shliach, we told Rav Hanina Ish Oinoi when he reported the halacha in the name of Rav Akiva that with three they can delegate it to others. So Rav Yosi says, we told Rav Hanina, Af Onum Kabbalah, no, you're telling us you have a Kabbalah from Rav Akiva, but we also have a Kabbalah that says differently from him, Shafilu Omala, based in a God of Yerushalayim, Tnu Get Ishti, even if he told the based in a God of Yerushalayim, write a get for my wife, Shayumadu Yichtu Rubi Yitnu Law, they have to learn how to write the get and write it and give it to her. So Iyamit Bishlam Ksava Getu, if you say, and that in the Mishnah, Rabbi Yossi is saying they have to even write the entire get themselves. Okay, Shaker, then we understand. The Beis Din HaGadol, even though they're the national authority in halacha for the Jewish people, they may never have had experience writing a get before, so they need to learn, they need to look up and learn the relevant halachas of how to write a get. Eli, I'm a ksav yodan, but if you say you're talking about just that they have to sign the get, how could there ever be a Beis Din who don't know how to sign their names? So wouldn't that show, therefore, automatically that the Mishnah means that they have to write the get, not just sign it? And the answer is, the Gemara says, not necessarily. Sure, you could have a newly seated Beis Din. Of course, Dayanim are regularly going to be signing their names to Piskei Din and to Shtaris that are being executed in Beis Din and so on and so forth. But this is a new Beis Din. They haven't had experience with that yet. They've never actually had the experience of signing their name yet on a document. So therefore, yes, you could say that maybe in that case there's an omission. When it says yumadu, maybe Rabbi Yossi means that they're going to have to learn how to sign the way you sign a get, because they've never done that before. Not necessarily does Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah mean that they have to write out the entire get. So you still don't have a proof one way or the other for the Mishnah, which is why Shmuel has his son. Okay, so the Gemara continues. So the Gemara asks, so let's see if we hold. So again, Shmuel's suffix is whether when he says in the mission they have to write, whether it means writing the get or whether it means signing it. If we're going to say that it means ksav yodan, then it means only those signatures, get kosher, implying that the rest of the get could be written by somebody else. How could that be? What about, though, we find that Shmuel also says that mili, that a shlichus of words, cannot be given over to a shliach. So even if we say that the husband himself may not mind the get being written by somebody else, we're going to say, let's say, like a bayah, that it's a problem of bizoyin the baal, and we're going to say that there's not an issue because he doesn't care whether the get is written by somebody else. Nevertheless, the fact is that mili la mimser on the shliach. So how could they so there's no possibility that they could delegate the writing to anybody else. So shouldn't it be on that basis automatically then? We know it must be that they can't delegate it to somebody else to write. The definition of mili, by the way, there's a few different explanations in Rishonim. So Rashi says over here that there's no actual physical get. When you give a get to a shliach, then sure, the shliach can appoint another shliach because you have a physical get over there. But here you don't have that. Here there's nothing physical. There's nothing tangible over here. Then there's another explanation. The Mordechai brings in Kiddushin, brings an explanation from the Kodesh Meradush. So he was one of the Balei HaTosfos that we find in some places. His name was Reb Shloima. He was from Radush or Droyush or whatever, a city in France, and he's called a Kodesh. I guess he must have been killed on Kiddush Hashem, but we don't really know anything about him. Anyway, he explains that mili means not where there's nothing tangible in his hand. It means where he's not able to complete it by himself. So the point is, in other words, he doesn't need anybody else's consent. So in the case of a shliach who has a get in his hand and he's told to bring it to the woman, after all, the gerushin can be accomplished without the wife's das until chayim de'aben gerushin. We've talked about that before. Therefore, he doesn't need her consent to give it to her. So therefore, that's good enough. It all depends on him. So as opposed to over here, he can't actually make the get happen. All he can do is write it. So therefore, it's considered mili because he doesn't yet have the authority to accomplish the ability to accomplish the whole thing, and therefore that would be considered mili. Anyway, the point is that Shmuel is saying the halacha is mili le nimser and l'shliach, however we define mili. So automatically, on the basis of that, fine, we can't prove from our Mishnah, but we should be able to prove from Shmuel's own statement that they can't tell somebody else to write the get, they have to write it themselves. The answer is Amri. The Chachamim answered, if we held that in the Mishnah, when it says they have to write the get, means they only have to sign it, and they don't have to write the entire get, then as far as the writing of the rest of the get, and we would say that in that case they would be able to delegate it. The reason is nasa ka'oimer imru, because that would be the equivalent of him saying that he's telling them imru, you tell somebody else to write the get, umoded of Yosi ba'oimer imru, and that Rabbi Yossi would agree with Oimer Imru. In other words, there's a difference. When he tells the person himself, you write the get, then that's mili, and Rabbi Yossi would say you can't delegate it. But when to begin with, he tells the shliach, you tell somebody else to write this get, then the Bnei HaYeshiva now are saying, to answer the question, that yes, Rabbi Yossi would say that that's fine, and they can now accomplish their shlichus by telling somebody else to write the get. But the Gemara asks, "Umi moded of Yosi ba'omer imru? does Rav Yossi in fact agree that Imru is fine and say that it's fine for them to now tell somebody else to write? But now, we learn in a Mishnah towards the end of our Masechta on Pezayinu days, Ksav Sofer Ve'ed Kosher, if the get is written in the handwriting of the sofer and it has one aid signed on it, then it's kosher. Now, obviously, one aid is not good enough. So, V'omer Reb Yumia explains over there in the Gemara, Chasam Sofer Sheminu. It doesn't mean that, it means that the sofer, having written the get, also signed as one of the aidim, and now you have a second aid with him. This is, by the way, of course, where the Chasam Sofer got the name of his Sfarim from. It's actually a play on words, because you have the words Chasam Sofer over here in the Gemara, but also Chasam stands for Chidushei Toras Moshe. Chasam Sofer stands for Chidushei Toras Moshe Sofer, because that was his name. Anyway, the point is that here we're talking about, so the get was written by the sofer, and the same sofer himself signed as one of the aidim, and then another aid signed as well, and so we're saying that that's kosher. And the Omer of Chista Masnissin Mani Rav Yossi, and Rav Chista says that Mishnah is specifically according to Rav Yossi, Dama Mili Lai Mimser on the Shliach, who says that you can't give over a shlichus of words to a shliach. So therefore, in other words, so the only ones who can sign the get are the ones who the husband actually told to. So conceivably you could say now is there potentially the problem over here that maybe the husband didn't want to, that maybe the husband tells his shliach tell the sofer to write, and I want two people to sign it. Meanwhile, the shliach thinks, one second, the sofer is going to be embarrassed. What do you mean? You don't want me to sign on the get? Why? Am I only good enough to write it? I'm not good enough to sign it. So therefore, he tells the sofer to sign it. So that's the thing, just the opposite. If you said mili mimsud on the shliach, if you said you could do that, then you would have that potential problem that maybe he told the shliach to do that, to delegate to the sofer and to the edim to sign, and then the shliach on his own altered the shlichus and said, you know what, it's not really right, it would be embarrassing to tell the sofer, write it, but you can't sign it. It almost sounds as though we're saying you're apostle aid, so therefore the shliach changed it. But once we say, mila le mimser on the shliach, there's no problem with that, because it has to be, therefore, that the husband himself directly told the sofer to write the get. And therefore he can sign and to sign as one of the aidim, and he directly told the other aid to sign as the other one. So we see that Rav Yossi holds, and not only do we see Rav Yossi holds milu lemimsu on the shliach, the isakadaitach murder Rav Yossi ba'omer imru, if Rav Yossi agrees, as we just wanted to say, that there's a difference between whether he tells the aidim, whether he tells the shliach, give the get, which therefore the shliach has no right to appoint somebody else to write and to give it, versus when he says Omer Imru, where there you could say he does have the right to do that, then you have a problem. Nafik minei churba. You still have a problem that could come out of it. What if he tells two people, you tell the sofer to write the get, and you tell Pliny and Pliny to sign. The sofer ba'adayu, and then they're going to figure we don't want to embarrass the sofer by implying that he can't sign it. So therefore, we're going to change it. We're going to allow him to sign as one of the two. So one of the two that he said that the husband had said, tell Reuven the sofer to write it, and tell Shimon and Levi to sign. The people they told that to instead figure that would be embarrassing, so we'll allow Reuven and Shimon to sign it. And the husband didn't say it, and therefore it would be possible. So if Rav Yossi says you can never give over mili to a shliach, whether we're just talking that he told them write the get, or whether Oimer Imru, whether he tells them you tell others to write the get, fine, then there's no potential problem with that. Always, whoever signed the get will have been told to do so directly by the husband, because mili le mimser on the shliach. But if you're telling me that Rav Yossi is going to hold that sometimes mili does work in the case of Omer Imru, then how can we say that this get with a sofer himself and one other aid signed that it is good? What if there was a case of Omer Imru over here and the aidim, the shluchim that he sent, decided to change things up because they didn't want to embarrass the sofer? So the answer is that's not a problem. Even the Omer Mar, kosher, but like to us, it came to Israel. Since we say further on in the Sugya, we say when the husband says to people to tell the sofer to do that. The get is kosher. The loy te'osa can be Yisrael, but such a thing should not be done among the Jewish people for reasons that the Gemara is going to say, later. So then, loy shchiach, so it's not so common, even though oimer imru technically might work, therefore, it's not such a concern that it would have happened, and therefore we have no reason to be gozer when we find this get that it was signed by the sofer plus one more aid. It's unlikely that there was a case like this where he told them we are not supposed to do that in the first place, and then on top of that they decided on their own to let the sofer be one of the eidim. It's uncommon enough that it's not a problem when we don't have to pass over the get because of that. So now Rashi also adds Shmuel. So in the Gemara that we were talking about over here, the Mishnah had used the expression ksav sofer, the aid kosher. Reb Yumia had understood it to mean that the sofer was one of the signers on the get. Rashi says we can say that Shmuel disagrees with Reb Yumia. He says that it means the sofer wrote the get and the aidim and one aid signed it. So then we're not talking about a sofer. We're not talking about a sofer signing the get at all. So we're saying it's loy shchiach. It's not common, and Shmuel would hold anyway that there's no problem when Shmuel says the halacha is like Rabbi Yosi that milu le mimsu on the shchiach. He would explain that Mishnah differently than Rabbi Yumiya was explaining it anyway. So therefore we don't have to say that Mishnah is dafka according to Rabbi Yosi. It could even be according to the mayor. Still, though, Tosfos says it's not so logical that Shmuel would be arguing with Rabbi Yumiya and Rabbi Chista. So therefore, the Gemara was assuming to begin with that Shmuel is going to agree with Rabbi Chista and Rabbi Yumiya, but now we're saying maybe not necessarily. So there's less of a concern of that, and therefore we don't have to be concerned about that unlikely situation that the sofer is signing because the people who told Omer Imru said that you can be one of those ones to sign. Still, the Gemara asked, what about, though, there could be another possibility. If you're going to tell me Omer Imru works, then conceivably you could tell two people. You tell the sofer right to write the get. You yourself sign the get. And that is not loy ta'osa kein b'Yisrael, but as the Hanach, meanwhile, these two come, mishum kisofer to sofer, and again, they're going to figure, we don't want to embarrass the sofer, we don't want to imply that he can't sign the get validly. They're going to have the sofer signed together with one of them. Meanwhile, the husband hadn't said that. So the answer is Amri. So the answer is actually Honami kosher loy ta'osu. That's also something where we would say the get is kosher, but it shouldn't be done like that, as the Gemara is going to explain further down on the Amud. Why not? Because Taka, you have the concern that then you might do that even when the husband says that other people should sign the get as well. So the Gemara says Honichal amanda Amud kosher loy ta'osu. Fine, that's according to the opinion that says further down on the Amud that that's also kosher v'loy ta'ase, in this case where he told the Edim themselves to be the signers, and then we have maybe the concern that they would tell somebody else. Elam andam kosher v'ta'ase, but you have an opinion that there's a difference between him saying, you tell the sofer to write and you tell two other people to sign, where there we say loy ta'ase kein b'Yisrael, versus where he says you yourselves sign the get after the sofer writes it, where there according to one opinion further along, that is fine. That we're gonna have at the bottom of the Amud. So then according to that, what can you say? You still have the problem that according to Rabbi Yosi, if you say that merely, that you say that there's a case that Rabbi Yosi would agree that in that case it's fine, Omer Imru would work. You still have the problem now if the get turns up with the signature of the sofer on it, it might be that wasn't what the husband had instructed originally. So Ella, we have to say Rabbi Yosi Tauki Kama. There are two, Rabbi Yosi is saying in both cases in our Mishnah, both when he says to three people that to give the get, he didn't say Imru, or when Omer Imru, Rabbi Yosi would hold in both those cases, it doesn't work. Ushmol, Savalai Kabasei Bechada, or Polagalei Bechada, Shmol agrees with Rabbi Yosi as far as one of those dinim and disagrees with him in the other and holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir in the other. So, So it's true. If we followed Rabbi Yossi exclusively, then you would have a problem. And Rashi adds also when we have the discussion further about what's allowed and what's not allowed, what's also came to Yisrael and what's not, that would be specifically within Rabbi Meir's opinion, because within Rabbi Yossi's opinion, there's nothing to talk about. But nevertheless, Shmuel, when Shmuel said, Hadavar Tzarech Talmud, is because he agrees that where there's no Oimer Imru, the halacha is like Rabbi Yossi, that they can't, he just said to them Ksovu, so they can't delegate it, but he disagrees with him about Oimer Imru, where Rabbi Yossi is going to say Oimer Imru is also no good. Shmuel is saying that might be good, but the question is over here, when he told them, Ksovu, does he mean that they themselves have to write the get, or does it mean that it's good enough only if they sign? So that discussion will continue in the next piece of Gemara, interspersed with a piece of Agadta about the milos of the various Chachamim. So that'll be tomorrow, Rez Hashem.